Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect today. Wanted to first start off with maybe some breaking news. Many of us have enjoyed the sunrise services for Easter that Calvary has had out at the UNM Stadium for many years. Of course, this year, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, we're not able to do that. So Friday, April 10th and Sunday, April 12th, you're going to be excited to hear that on KRQE TV 13, CBS, KASY, My 50, KWBQ, CW, and NRQE 2, Fox, you're going to be able to watch the Easter services live on television, and that's both on Friday, April 10th and Sunday, April 12th. It's going to be really a special thing, and wanted to let everybody know about that. I think I might even beaten our social media folks to the punch announcing that today on ABQ Connect. So we hope everybody will look forward to that. It'll be a little different than what we're used to, but it'll be a lot of fun, a real blessing, and you'll get to participate in the services. We've got some more special announcements about Easter services coming up, so stay tuned to ABQ Connect. And you may also want to go into the CalvaryABQ.org website and check out what's going on there as well. Take advantage of all the Calvary Church at Home broadcasts and things that are being done, and it'll be a special time. We've got a great guest today, and of course, everything's being done by phone. Ethel Maharg, Director of New Mexico Right to Life Committee on ABQ Connect with us. Hi, Ethel. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Jim?
Well, we're rolling along in this weird time, and you know, I'm every day seeing innovations of new technology. I'm seeing new ways to communicate. I've had a fun time communicating to my children via Zoom. I've got a couple children out in San Diego and three of them here. And of course, we're doing all the social distancing thing, but we're still communicating on a regular basis. And the video chats are kind of fun.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, and I bet you're having meetings that way now because you're just constantly talking with people. Are you doing that all via technology?
Yes, a lot of phone calls, but in fact, I had a board meeting this morning, and then but lots of phone calls, and there have been some prayer meetings and things like that where there's, you know, like a call in line. So yeah, I think it's great, you know. We didn't stop. We just, you know, had to find a different way. So this makes us more innovative, I think.
Right. Well, Ethel, you've been kind enough to talk with us about right to life issues. And that just doesn't have to do with abortion. That also has to do with our elderly and many of us with older parents and those kind of things. So it's really a critical issue. But one of the main reasons I want to have you on the program is it seems like every time we start talking about right to life issues, we start talking about Democrats versus Republicans. And this is absolutely not what this is about. We know that, especially in the state of New Mexico, there's a lot of really strong Christian people in the Democratic Party. And all we really are trying to do is to communicate them about the right to life issues. And so I'm going to start my questions by saying, tell us about the Right to Life Committee of New Mexico.
Okay. Well, the Right to Life Committee of New Mexico, our mission is to educate people, because only when we educate them, you know, like Abby Johnson's, her slogan is like, make abortion unthinkable. And I think that that's the only way that you can do that, is not necessarily through legislation, but when you help educate people and they truly understand, their heart changes. And so when their heart changes, then different outcomes, you know, you get different outcomes from it. So that's really what we do, is we do everything that we can to educate. Like, for example, lobbying. People are thinking, oh, my goodness, what is lobbying? Lobbying is just talking to our representatives, educating them, you know, those that will listen. And anybody else, you know, help them to understand what it is that abortion, infanticide, euthanasia, and assisted suicide are all about. And so that's what we do. When they understand, they go, oh, my goodness, I didn't know. And we're like, we know, you know, we're not smug about it. We're like, well, yes, that's right. But that's why we do what we do, is because people need to know. They deserve to know everything. And that's one of the key principles with abortion, is that women deserve to know every part of it, how it could potentially affect her. you know, her or, and or the dad as well. You know, and of course we know the outcome for the child. But they should know every part of it because it doesn't end at the abortion table, you know.
Right.
There's lasting, long life, but lasting ramifications there.
Well, Ethel, we're going to talk a little bit about today. We're going to talk about people that promote abortion. We're going to talk about Planned Parenthood. We're going to talk about all the strategies they employ, like referring to abortion as women's health care. And you know all of the buzzwords that they use. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I know your heart right now. Abortion is very important. It's critical. And we have elections coming up. And so people are going to have an opportunity to talk about that. But I know your heart today is for people that are locked up at home. And, you know, that's families that, you know, it's just awkward, everybody being together for 24 hours a day. And then there's people that are by themselves and they're isolated. And I know you think about there are absolutely women at home right now that may have an unwanted pregnancy. So there's just all kinds of circumstances. And I know you have a heart to encourage all of these people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Jim, you hear the news and it's always bad. And, you know, I saw a clip and I didn't even let myself watch it. It was about the person that jumped off a building. I didn't want to see that, you know. But the thing is, sometimes the media continues to pour in all the numbers and all the bad things. And, you know, you can only take so much of that into your heart. And after a while, we need to start spreading. We have the good news. And I think that we need to start sharing it. And that, you know, like, what is it, Mother Teresa said, you know, or no, St. Francis, you have to preach the gospel every day, and if necessary, use words. Well, you know, we need to be acting and, you know, helping, calling, my neighborhood is mostly elderly people. So we need to see if they're okay, or if we know somebody's pregnant, and, you know, and most people say it's an unwanted pregnancy. I think most of the times the situation is an unwanted one. They find themselves in a place, or maybe they were just not ready for whatever reason. But I don't know about you, but when are you ready? Absolutely. You know, and most people wouldn't be born if people waited till the opportune moment. So I think that we have to help people understand that, you know what, it can be the biggest blessing of your life. It was just not planned, maybe just not how you expected it to go, but it's going to be okay. You know what? You've got everything that it takes to make it. And so I just want to encourage people, you know, don't feel, okay, you're isolated and you're at home. And, you know, sometimes I have my grandkids, I had to lock myself in a room so that they wouldn't come in here because they're very noisy boys. And they want to be right here where I'm at. And the next thing I know, they'll be screaming as they hit each other. Right. So, but the thing is
they
that,
sound like perfect, you know, children, like, by the way, they sound perfect.
Yeah, they are. They're like, ah. But you know, it's a perfect time. And I think, you know, Jim, I don't want us to miss this. We have a perfect opportunity to do some really good things with our families, you know, and then to reach out to people that are, possibly, you know, considering some very bad things, you know, maybe possibly depression, taking their lives. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know what? Everything is temporary. Even this COVID-19 COVID-19 is going to be over. It's going to be something we'll talk about forever. We'll never forget. But you know what? It's temporary. And we're going to get through this, and so are you. And I just want to just tell people, don't give up hope. And we're going to have a friend come on real soon, because she just, I call them because that's where I came from, Pregnancy Center Ministry. And it was like, that's what they do. They just encourage people when they're in a situation. I don't even like to call it crisis, because that would seem like it's horrible, you know? Mm-hmm. And pregnancy is normal. It's not horrible. It's just the circumstances around it, or, you know, the things that maybe make it a little crazy. I even counsel people that were excited to have babies and they were still freaking out, you know?
Sure.
So it's just the nature of the thing, you know? So I just want to encourage people, you know what? It's temporary. We're going to get through this. And in the meantime, don't miss the opportunities that God has given you during this time. You know, read more, learn more. It's a great time. Man, how awesome is this that we get to have time off? We're forced to be quiet.
Right.
Finally, for me, that's kind of hard. But
well, there's a lot of people, Ethel, that are going to complain about everything. And what I want to encourage people to do is, okay, well, I'm going to liken this to a sports analogy, and maybe people won't understand this, but I embarrassingly yelled at basketball officials for 25 or 30 years, both as a player and as a youth coach, which frankly is just ridiculous. Because guess how many calls were changed by my complaining? Not one.
Yeah.
Not one. So, yeah. You know, frankly, I was not only arrogant and the opposite of humble in every way, but I also was stupid. That was not something I should have been doing. So now I've been coaching for about 5 years, and God totally humbled me and about 5 years ago, and now I've been coaching youth leagues and don't even have a heart to yell at basketball officials. So the reason I think that's relevant is people that are complainers are literally wasting their breath. They could be doing things like going on to the RTLNM.org website, which is the New Mexico Right to Life Committee website, and they can start reading about all of the things that are going on with the Right to Life Committee. They can go into Republican Party websites. They can go into the New Mexico Legislator websites. They can go to Rio Grande Foundation website and Viante, and they can find out how our legislators, how our state representatives are voting. And for you, I want to ask you this question. So we do have an election coming up. We do want to reduce the number of abortions. And, you know, before I ask you this question, I have to thank our sponsors. I'm going to take 2 minutes to do that and come back with Ethel Maharg. She is the director of the Right to Life Committee of New Mexico. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Bye-bye.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we see Right to Life efforts all over the news these days. What does the Bible say about this?
Chris, the Bible is clear. Humankind is created in the image of God with great value and worth in His sight and is to be respected and protected. At conception, the embryo takes on human status, although not yet completely grown. The Bible discusses how the growing embryo as an individual has feelings and on some occasions even expresses itself. When a pregnant woman was injured in Bible times, such that the baby lost its life, there were consequences to be faced. The Bible doesn't give us all the details, but there's enough there to be certain that the unborn child is a viable human person and must be protected. Chris, the Back to Genesis way of thinking helps us understand modern issues.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
The God who loves you and wants to bless you and use you also has this created enemy called the devil who, for whatever reason, is given the permission to destroy you. And he would rather have you lukewarm. He would rather have you sinning. So as you start to blaze a trail of goodness and glory and all the things God has for you, his desire gets to turn down the volume on your life. And one of the best, most effective ways he does that is to persecute you. It'll cause you to go, well, forget this then. Then I don't need to do this for God if that's how God's going to treat me. And so we begin to stop serving God, which is the exact opposite of what we're supposed to do. And Jehoshaphat, somehow deep down, he knew that. So notice what he does. Verse 3, I love this. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilusco.com.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jim Williams with ABQ Connect on the phone with Ethel Maharg. She is the director of the New Mexico Right to Life Committee. And again, Ethel, tell us the issues that you guys are primarily focused on, and that's not just abortion.
No, okay. We champion the cause of life from conception to natural death. And so the other end of the spectrum is not the abortion. We hear more of that. But the other is euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide. And thank God we don't have that in our state. And if they try to push it, but it just hasn't come to fruition, thank God. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that physician-assisted suicide, for the most part, people think it's for the elderly. They're near death or things like that, or they're frail. But that's not the case. I know that we tried to fight this bill. It was Bill 4, HB 409 for UNM. They had done this already to this little girl who was severely disabled, and they had placed a DNR, a do not resuscitate, on this little girl not once but three times. And that was without the parents' knowledge or consent. And so if something happened to her, they would just let her die, okay, or they would have somehow helped her to die. And so that the thing is, it is not our place for people to die, okay? That alone belongs to God. And Oregon has had physician-assisted suicide, I don't recall how many years now, but because they do now have that, their assisted suicide has gone up over 40%. Mm. I spoke with someone that's running for representative, is answering one of our questionnaires, and I said, don't crack that door open. I said, you can't allow that because what will happen, Jim, is I'll say, Jim, are you feeling depressed today? Mm-hmm. And you'll say, well, yeah, kind of, you know, I'm this COVID and everything else. Well, you know what? We have something that can help take care of that. You know, come on. And it's happening. It happened. We heard many testimonials. We had a conference about euthanasia, and there was a young girl that was 25. She'd been waiting to die. She was, and then they promoted just like abortion. They'll promote the death, and so because it's the left, it's the very liberal progressive movement that is pushing all these death bills, and so the thing is that we cannot have physician-assisted suicide. For one, because death belongs not to any of us. God decides when we die. Mm. And we are not to interfere in that. And then we, like I said, it opens us up for so much abuse, you know, for the elderly, for anyone else, then they can just write you off, you know, it's just like the question that they ask girls going into for abortion. Some that go back and forth for here, but they say that if it caused her any kind of mental strain, if she had this baby, well, they conveniently have a psychologist over at Southwest Women's Options that'll ask them, well, is this good news for you? Mm. Well, no. Well, okay, well, then we can take care of that. That's not what she needs. She needs to kind of help work through that. So they'll immediately provide abortion. Same thing will happen with assisted suicide. Same exact thing. But see, we cracked the door open for abortion, and it was supposed to be rare and for like the life of the mother and rape and incest and these things. But look what it's turned out to be, all the way to the end, to the, you know, day of delivery and then some. They're wanting to push that infanticide, you know, in Virginia and all these states. So we can't have that, you know. And then as New Mexicans, that's not who we are. Right. We take care of our people. We take care of our people. So. Well, no, Ethel, it's unacceptable.
One of the things that you taught us on previous programs is the amount of money that is made.
Oh.
And it sounds like, you know, euthanasia and all these other things are going to probably be just about as expensive as abortion. And, you know, you've used Planned Parenthood as an example. This is a multi-billion dollar organization making a lot of money killing babies.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And let me tell you something. I'll just tell you something. One of my gripes right now during all this, you know, there's so many governors that are saying no to abortion during the COVID-19 crisis. And Planned Parenthood was begging people to please send in donations of medicine. Come on, really? You guys make billions of dollars. And then you're playing on everybody's that you don't have enough supplies. And then on top of that, you would be taking that from those that really, really need it. Mm. So, you know, just stop. Sorry. I mean, sorry. I'll just get on my soapbox here.
Well, let's talk about, there's maybe some silver lining to this. Are abortion clinics closed right now because of the virus?
Yes, there are right now. I have a total of five. And they keep coming down. All right. You're right. I think I have Texas on there. I think I put Texas. Yeah, they're closing. For during the COVID-19 crisis, because for the most part, about 99.9% of the abortions are elective. They are something that they are choosing to do. It is not something that is essential or necessary. Mm-hmm. And so because they're an elective surgery, they're saying close the doors, at least for a while. You know, put those resources to hospitals that need that. Because, let me tell you, the other part is, they were really promoting RU486, which is the pill that the, you know, young girls can take. Mm-hmm. Well, most of those girls, a lot of the times what happens is they hemorrhage, and guess where they end up?
In the
emergency
hospital.
Room.
Mm-hmm.
Taxing the system. So, you know, they need to stop. They just need to stop. you know, in just helping everybody during this time. You know, even for a moment, come on, can't you guys take a break from killing for at least a while? So anyway, yeah, so they're closing. So at least next year in the reports, there'll be several, you know, thousand babies that didn't die this year because of the COVID-19.
Right.
Isn't that a great thing?
It's a great thing. I mean, if there's a silver lining, that's saving a few babies. Now, the pregnancy resource centers, and one of those in New Mexico is CareNet. We're going to have, and you work closely with them. Sue Freeman is going to be calling into the program. She's the director of client services for the CareNet pregnancy centers. But they're still aiding families during this crisis, aren't they?
Oh, man, they are awesome. They just, they love on these people when they go in. There's never any judgment. You know what? They just, even when they say, I remember Sue and I worked with one client, and she said, I want an abortion and don't try to stop me. And we go, okay, let's talk. You know, fill out your paperwork. And we just loved on her. We helped her through her, you know, situation that she's going through. Well, I'll just tell you that we were the first place she stopped after giving birth to her baby to come and show us her little girl. So, you know, we don't judge them. We just love them. We're like, okay, we don't argue. We don't fight with them. We just love on them. And I can't tell you, these people there are some of the best people ever. And, Sue was a center director under me when she took my job. she got my job when I went to Right to Life. So, but I'll tell you what, you couldn't find a better group of people. They love people and they love these people through their situations. And so, yeah, I can't wait to hear what she has to say.
So Ethel, I heard you say that, I heard you say there's no judgment. So it sounds like what you're saying to me is that you are simply providing information. So let's go back to Right to Life Committee. Yes. If you talk with a person about having a baby or possibly aborting the baby or terminating the pregnancy, which I guess is a little less volatile way to say it. I'm not sure. I'm sure they mean the same thing, but there's always a strategy of trying to make things sound better, especially when it comes to Planned Parenthood clinics. What is Planned Parenthood? What information do they give pregnant women, and how does that contrast with what you tell them?
Well, you know, they tell them that it's your right to choose and it's your body. And then, part of it is that, you know, they use a lot of scare tactics, including like, well, you know what? Part of it is money. I know because, Carol Everett, who was a abortion provider at one time said, and she loves the Lord now and she's helping us on this battle. So she said that what they did is they would squeeze their arm by the elbow and say, honey, you know what? Go ahead and go get your money. And we'll take care of it because it'll be more expensive if you wait. So, of course, the girl is a little bit worried about money, and then or they'll say, oh, you'll never be able to finish school. You won't be able to do, you know, have that career. You won't be able to be a nurse. You'll be able to become a sales, whatever it is that you're wanting to do. And then they will use whatever that they have against them, you know, and say, you won't be able to. Well, that's not true. Mm-hmm. You know, how many people have had kids while they're going to school and everything else, and they're fine.
Yes.
You know, so, and then again, the fear, and I've heard of times where people, they give their money and then they won't give it back, you know, or they said they'll only give them half, and, you know, so a lot of scare tactics. We don't scare them. You know what? We just give them information and we don't argue. That's the other thing is there's no place to argue. What for?
Right.
You know, we just say, I try to help people understand what could potentially happen. And then I also help to build value in that person and tell them, you know what? God has plans for you and your baby. You know, just give it a chance. You know, you're not alone. Because I've had some, they said, well, I don't have anybody. I said, well, you do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so let them know that they have an advocate on their side. And so, just to help them to understand that they're not alone, that there are places that can help them. And we have, I know that, not Right to Life so much, but CareNet for sure has like, they have huge volumes of, lots of resources that they can help, pregnant families, you know, so.
I remember, Ethel, one of the things you told us in a past show is that you told us, aside from spiritual, recognition as to, you know, how God feels about abortion. You've also pointed out that simply technology has really convicted a lot of people of what's actually going on inside of them, and that maybe for the first time in history, women are beginning to realize that more of them are against abortion than ever in history, maybe largely because of technology that's now available.
Yes. The young people are trying, are now they see everything, they Google everything, you know, and they go, ooh, that's wrong, you know. They just look at it and they go, God, this is, that's terrible. When they see what actually an abortion takes, because now everything is on YouTube. They can watch an abortion take place. You know, Dr. Levitino has done everything. He's a former abortionist, and he does an animated version of abortion. And when they see that, they're like, oh, gosh, that's gruesome. That's horrible. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so technology has definitely made it something that they can, that helps them, you know, that helps them understand. Okay. But the other thing, I'll tell you the fun thing, is technology like ultrasound. When she comes in and she's scared and you've gone through a period of, you know, speaking with her about what is, you know, going on, and then you take her back for that ultrasound, oh, man, when she sees, it seems like those babies know, man, they perform.
Yeah.
And they're like, hi, Mom. And when they see that, oh, you should see the smiles on the mama's face. Almost 99.9% of them choose life after that, you know. So.
And I'm assuming that ultrasound is not something that you're going to be offered if you go to a Planned Parenthood clinic.
You know, they do an ultrasound, but it's mostly to determine size. And what size determines is money. Mm. How much do I charge for this baby?
Wow. What a scary, yeah. What a scary thought process that even is. I don't know if you know the numbers exactly, but how many abortions are performed in New Mexico every year?
Well, the last time I understood it was like about 5,000. Now, you have to take into account, though, that we are still known as the abortion capital of the world because we just came off of that. Of course, New York is up there now, but the thing is, that parking lot of Southwest Women's Option still is full because what they do is they pay for them to come here. And so a lot of the abortions that are taking place are coming in here from out of state. So that 5,000 does not necessarily count just New Mexicans.
Wow. And, you know, the fact that we would ever be considered the abortion capital of the United States is a scary thought as well.
Yes, it's terrible.
Well, yeah, Ethel, we are anticipating here in the next few minutes that Sue Freeman, she is the client service director for CareNet Pregnancy Centers, is going to be calling into the program. But we have plenty to talk about with you until she joins the program. So we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to some sponsors. We'll be right back.
Okay. Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. Has God shown you that there are things in your life that need to be changed and fixed? Generally speaking, we all have these things in our lives in one shape or another. The difference is if we take care of them right away or not. In the automotive repair world, I've seen this over and over. Catastrophic failures due to people not fixing small issues with their vehicle right away. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we take care of all your vehicle's repair and maintenance needs. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA approved. We are located in Rio Rancho on the corner of Southern and Western Hills across from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And we have free towing to our facility for repairs. Just ask for details. And with those things God is showing you that you need to change and fix, please don't put it off and let these small issues in your life become catastrophic failures. Jesus stands beside you ready to fix all that is broken in you if you will just simply ask him to do so. And he's already paid the price for the repair.
How would you like to predict the future? 100 years ago, a man named John Watkins, who curated the Smithsonian, tried. He predicted that by today, we'd have exterminated cockroaches and mosquitoes, and we'd no longer be using the letters C, Q, or X. Tell that to Xerox. The truth is, the future is beyond our ability to predict, but it's not beyond God's. And His Word tells us everything we need to know about what's ahead in the period known as the end times. We want to help you understand what the future holds by sending you Skip Heitzig's book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. You Can Understand the Book of Revelation, newly reprinted to include helpful illustrations and a study guide. This timely resource is our gift of thanks for your donation today of $35 or more to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give today and get your copy of You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Or call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Want to welcome everybody back to ABQ Connect, and I want to let everybody know we have a new sponsor of our program. It's Sergio's Bakery and Cafe. They are located up at 2740 Wyoming, Suite B, and they're in the Fidelity Shopping Center. Our friend Sergio makes a variety of things, donuts, pastries, breakfast burritos, burgers, and of course right now they have curbside pickup. You can call them on the phone at 554-2602, and want to encourage everybody to frequent Sergio's. We appreciate their sponsorship so much, but they are also one of these restaurants that's struggling to keep people employed. They've been around New Mexico for 40 years. We want to help them stay in business, and they're discounting their pricing and everything just to try to help the public. And I've got a lot of friends of mine, a couple of elderly people I know, in fact, that order from them, go by and pick it up, and it's just delicious. My waistline is testifying. I tell you, they have some really cool cakes too. If you've got anything going on where you need a custom cake, again, two-fisted breakfast burritos, call Sergio's at 554-2602. We are joined today on the program on the phone by Ethel Maharg. She's the director of the New Mexico Right to Life Committee. And now we're joined by Sue Freeman. She is the client services director for CareNet Pregnancy Centers. Welcome into the show, Sue.
Thank you very much, Jim. Hi, Ethel.
Hi.
It's kind of weird talking to each other on the phone, isn't it?
It is. It sure is.
Hey, Sue, tell us a little bit about CareNet, and I'd like you, as you tell us, to maybe possibly contrast, if you would, a woman is, you know, she has an unwanted pregnancy, perhaps, or just a pregnancy period, and maybe she calls Planned Parenthood first. Why is it good for her to call you guys first?
Well, you know, what we do at CareNet, everything we do is free and confidential. All of our services are free. We don't take any government funding at all. And, you know, if somebody were to call Planned Parenthood first, they would not get all of the options that we give. And also, we're free. We would definitely be coming alongside her, and, you know, we could do that free pregnancy test for her. We could do an early pregnancy health assessment, free ultrasound, and we do have parenting classes that we do as well. So she would get the support that she needed right away.
Mm. Well, tell us a little bit about how somebody reaches you. I'm sure you have a website, phone numbers. Give those to us right now in case somebody needs to call you.
We do. It's at carenetabq.org. They can reach us. And also, the phone number is 880-880-0882. And they can give us a call. We do have five different centers. So we have one in the Northeast Heights. We have one in Rio Rancho, the East Mountains, Valencia County. We also have a medical mobile unit.
Mm. So you do things as simply as provide pregnancy tests.
We do. We do. And we have been incredibly busy the past few weeks.
Well, I want to point this question to Ethel, because she used to work with CareNet. She works closely with you now. I know you guys are friends, but I want to ask you, what does a woman feel when they are pregnant? Even if the pregnancy is wanted, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on chemically and mentally and spiritually that men probably don't even understand. I have 5 children, and I don't think I ever understood it.
Is that a question or two questions?
Ethel, that's a question for you.
For me, okay. Well, you know, she feels, I guess it just depends on the situation, but, you know, she'll feel excited. At first, you don't know anything, right? Cause there's nothing showing, but you think, wow, I'm pregnant. I'm going to be a mom, you know? So there's an excitement there. And then sometimes, fear might creep in and you might just say, I wasn't planning this. How are we going to have, I just lost my job or maybe we didn't have enough money saved or things like that. And then it's like, how are we going to make it? Or gee, we already have 3 kids, you know, wow. Something like that. So you just never know what the situation is, but it's always good. And then especially as that baby begins to grow and you feel those first kicks, oh my goodness, they're beautiful. And then you see them on ultrasound just jumping around. It's just nothing like it. That baby kicking is pretty fun. Mm. So yeah.
Well, Sue, how about this? You have people that are going into Planned Parenthood clinic and they're considering abortion. And yes. Ethel's told us in the past that they're not getting all the information. They're not told how having an abortion might affect them physically, spiritually, and mentally in the future. And both of you, it sounds like, have experience with people that have had abortions. Ethel tells us that you have a no-judgment kind of philosophy. What kind of education do you try to give women that are in this situation?
Well, first of all, we come along and we meet them exactly where they are. We meet them like Jesus would. We come alongside and, you know, we really, we talk about what their options might be. We talk and we listen. You know, that's the biggest thing of all is we just listen. And a lot of these women, you know, if they're in dire situation where they feel like they need to have an abortion, lots of times they don't know about the after effects and what will happen later on down the road. There's a lot of trauma that can happen. Suicide rates are higher. Drinking becomes an issue. There's just many, many facets that they're not thinking about at the time. So we do come alongside and we do ask their permission to discuss, you know, abortion. And we talk about also the other side, you know, what it's going to look like down the road. And sometimes, you know, they don't even know what kind of an abortion they're going to have. So we would ask them, you know, what kind of an abortion were you thinking about so that, you know, we start getting them to think about what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. And how do you counsel people? I mean, I know you can, you're not trying to convince them of anything. You're just trying to provide them with the information. But maybe share a story about a woman that maybe have been predisposed to having an abortion and they came to see you first. How did that change her thoughts about that process?
Well, we always like to say, you know, sometimes when they come in, there's a huge tornado going on. And so we have to figure out and break that down, and we have to figure out what that tornado looks like. And then we have to come alongside and get her trust and ask those open-ended questions and, you know, give her the hope. One of the great things that we get to do at CareNet, Jim, is we get to share the gospel message. Mm. And, you know, lots of times they've never heard that before, and especially in these times right now when they hear that there's hope, boy, it just changes everything. Yeah. And if we can get them in that ultrasound room, that's even better.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of ultrasounds. I mentioned that I had 5 children. I've even seen the vaginal ultrasound where it kind of cuts the baby a different direction, but I've always thought it was moving ink blots, to be honest with you. But like Ethel was describing, when you put your hand on mommy's tummy and you feel that baby kicking, that is just an amazing thing.
It's an amazing thing. And, you know, we normally will do an ultrasound around 8 weeks and from 8 to 18 weeks. And, boy, when those ladies get to see that baby, you know, moving, and it's like those little ones know, and they put on a show, I'll tell you, don't they, Ethel?
Yeah, they do.
They're moving. they're moving, and it's almost like they know that, you know, they need to show us what's going on, and it changes hearts. It really does.
Yeah. Sue, give us we're on this phone right now with Sue Freeman, and Ethel Maharg with the Right to Life Committee. Sue is the Client Services Director for the CareNet Pregnancy Centers, faith-based organization. Tell us how our listeners can come alongside you and support your work, Sue.
Well, there's a couple of different ways. Actually, we do have a virtual banquet coming up on April 21st at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. And you can go ahead and go to carenetabq.org to find out more. I think it's going to be an amazing time because we can actually have more people watch and, you know, come alongside us that way. Or right now, you know, we need donations of formula, diapers and wipes. You know, that would help us a lot. The other thing you can do is get involved, you know, become a volunteer. We have a great volunteer training class, and if you get online, you'll see that information as well. But the most important thing, Jim, is just to pray right now, because you know, we have a battle going on, and you know, the other side is working hard too to counteract what we're doing. So we need your prayers too.
You know, I don't mean to make light of the subject, but a virtual banquet would probably help me to lose weight.
<There you go.
laughs> What do you think,
it's
Ethel?
Virtual unbanquet.
There you go. It's very innovative, though. I really like that. The virtual banquet, that's going to be, again, on April 21st, did you say?
Yes, at 7 o'clock, and we also have a great guest speaker this year. His name is Stephen Men Holland, and he's a recording artist and worship leader and author. He's you know, has a great testimony. So, you know, we would encourage you to become a part of that.
Well, Sue, I really appreciate you being on the line with us today. Give us one more time your website and phone number for people to call you and make sure that everybody knows that you need donations of formula, diapers and wipes and everything else baby related, it sounds like.
Yes, we do. We do. So our phone number, I'll give you two numbers, 505-880-8373 or 505-880-0882. Our website is carenetabq.org.
Fantastic. Well, Sue, thank you for joining us today. We're going to have one more segment with Ethel. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
Life can take an unexpected turn in your home or business by fire or flood. As a result, you may have mold problems. Let the experts put your mind at ease with a quick response from locally owned water extraction experts. They'll provide service within the hour, are available 24/7 for emergencies, and work with all insurance companies. Professional, certified, and friendly technicians are here to do the job right the first time. Call the experts now at 505-250-6500 or visit them online at waterextractionexperts.com.
I'm Rob Sneed, General Manager at Power Ford. We do things differently over here on the affordable side of Albuquerque. We give you a better deal and a better experience. The better deal part, we'll beat any new Ford deal in New Mexico or put $1,000 cash in your pocket. The better experience part, every new vehicle comes with the confidence of a 100,000-mile warranty and complimentary maintenance. Find your ride at mypowerford.com or come see us on the affordable side of Albuquerque on Montaño, west of I-25.
Call 888-243-8183 for details.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
You know, when God called Moses to lead Israel's exodus from Egypt, his response was less than enthusiastic. If you'll remember, Moses attempted to resist God's call by reminding God of all the resources he didn't possess. I don't have the reputation. I don't have the credibility. I can't speak eloquently enough. But God wanted Moses to take inventory with a different perspective. It wasn't about what Moses didn't have. It was about God's ability to use what Moses did have. And when we step up to the task, even a simple shepherd's stick becomes the staff of God. So stop trying to remind God of what you don't have. Trust Him today to take what you do have to fulfill His calling on your life.
Right thinking leads to right living. Want more? Power up with Pastor Mike Fabares on Focal Point. a half hour of hard-hitting Bible teaching here on your station, or check it out online at focalpointradio.org.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lusco.
So Jehoshaphat, fear, that's human. That's normal. If you feel that reaction when three armies come against you, good. In fact, let me just put it this way. If you don't feel that reaction, go get an MRI. Something's wrong with you. When three armies join together to destroy you, your reaction should be fear. But he didn't stop at fear. He feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. I love that verse. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. I grabbed a couple different translations and looked at the different ways it's rendered. One says, alarmed Jehoshaphat resolved. Alarmed on the inside, but he resolved anyway to trust in God. Afraid, another version says, Jehoshaphat set his face to seek after God. Afraid, he set his face to seek God anyway.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to LeviLusco.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Ethel Mahar, director of the New Mexico Right to Life Committee on ABQ Connect. Ethel, we're going to talk a little bit about what I think is, I don't know if you can have degrees of awfulness when it talk, when, I don't even know if that's a word, but when we talk about abortion, it is awful at any level. And I'm going to talk to you about late term abortion in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to talk to you a little bit about how common these euthanasia issues are in our culture in the United States.
Well, I think that they become as common as we open the door for. Like I said, right now, we don't have it in New Mexico, thank God. And like I said, I went to battle and I fought against that a couple years ago. They didn't have it this year. They didn't bring it up. Mm-hmm. But, they were talking about, that it helps people to die with dignity. And, you know, that's one thing that they are so good. They're wordsmiths. They craft everything and they say the same thing over and over, and pretty soon people just parrot it and they believe it.
Right.
Okay. And so, but you know, it's dying with dignity. And I told them, look, my mom died with dignity. I says, and nobody killed her.
Yes.
I was there with her at her last heartbeat. I said, I was holding her hand and I said, and she died with dignity with all of her kids around her. And I said, what you're proposing is not dignity. It's, you know, it's murder, frankly.
Well, and it's convenient, right?
It's convenient, right. I mean, it's not, you know what? We weren't convenient for her. You know, you think about it. You know, when our parents are older, we have to remember that there was a time that we were snot-nosed kids and they had to, you know, wipe our rears. We had diapers, right?
We had diapers,
wipe our rears and our noses and comfort all the tears and everything else. And so when it comes to their time, you know, turnabout's fair play. So we need to love our older people. But then remember, too, that some people are suffering from, you know, depression or things like this. And, you know, right now, I think I told you this, Jim, but our state, our teen suicide rate doubles the nation.
In New Mexico?
Yes. Oh. I was doing a research project. I was writing a grant and I just had to stop. I think wept the rest of the day thinking about that because, you know, our kids are already taking their life because they feel there's no value. Mm-hmm. And then we just give them permission to do that. You know, it just opens the door way too wide. We can't have that. We just can't. And so, so those are the statistics that I do know, but we haven't, like I said, thank the Lord that we have not had any bills like that passed here in New Mexico. And as far as I'm concerned, they won't. I'm everything I can.
Yes.
To educate their, you know, representatives and senators. So.
Well, and Ethel, you're like, maybe the nicest person I know on the planet. So you are actually in a fight. I mean, if this was me, I mean, I would probably be a little bit out of control in some of these confrontational situations, but you seem to maintain your kindness and your grace and you're still strong and direct. But boy, I'm proud of you. You do a great job arguing this case.
You're sweet. There are days, let me tell you that, And I've learned a lot. You know, Vince and I usually appear together, but Vince really helped me a lot because there were some days, and he and I both were really angry over that 409 bill. I told you about the DNR.
Right.
That was a tough day. You know, and there are things where you see about talking to people that are just evil or driven by evil, you know. And there are days you just have to pray a lot. But, you know, I've learned that arguing with people doesn't help, and educating them does much better. And I'll have to tell you a really neat story that's been taking place. We have sent out questionnaires to everyone that has an opponent in this primary, and so some of them are answering them, but they want more information, so I sent it to them, and then I have conversations with them, and they're like, oh, I didn't know that. Again, you know that, and I love that. It's like, okay, well, great, you know, let's talk about this. Because when you just give people information that they didn't have before, they can make a better choice, even as representatives, you know, of our state.
And you're sending those to the Democrats and to the Republicans, right?
Yes, sir, I am. All of them, you know. I send them to everybody because I want to know where they stand, because we're going to publish, you know, where they all stand. And and I'll tell you, on that note, we have the representative, Matthew Gonzalez, he was part of the team in Cimarron that passed that resolution. He's Democrat. That whole team is Democrat.
Well, let's talk about that. What is the pro-life resolution that the village of Cimarron passed recently?
Oh, it was great. They passed a resolution that, oh my goodness, let me get it. That they were pro-life, that they were a pro-life community in the whole village. And you know what they did it for? I loved it. They did it in support of James Martinez in Santa Fe. Some commissioners in Rio Riba tried to pass a resolution, and the left got a hold of it. They got a hold, and they hassled them so much that they pulled back and they pulled it off their agenda. Well, these guys, I guess they didn't care. They didn't back down. But this resolution states that the Declaration of Independence states about, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, for life being the first of these declared rights. Anyway, so therefore, it says, let it be resolved that it's long in the whereas, but that we, the members of Cimarron Village Council, declare that innocent human life, including fetal life, must always be protected, and that society must protect those who cannot protect themselves. And be further resolved by the Village Council of Village of Cimarron declares in its opposition to any reduction by the New Mexico legislature or limitations on abortion. So anyway, what they did is every single one of them signed. All five of them did, mayor and council.
And I want you to point out the political affiliations of those individuals.
They were four Democrats to one Republican, and it passed unanimously.
And both sides of the aisle taking a stand.
Right.
And that's an amazing thing. I'm blessed to hear that. I mean, if there's lots of good things you've said today, but I'm so encouraged to hear that people are thinking independently of their parties on both sides of the aisle. And I have to tell you, I interviewed Congressman Steve Pierce. He's chairman of the Republican Party, yesterday on the show. And he actually said these words. He's not just all about Republicans. He's just wanting people, especially the faith community, to vote what they believe, what their biblical beliefs are. And he doesn't care what side of the aisle they are on. He wants to restore family values. He wants education to improve. He wants New Mexico at the top of every good list and at the bottom of every bad list. And, you know, I think he's a lot on the same page. So I really appreciate you sharing that very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's good people. And, you know, I posted about the DNC chairman, you know, Democrat, and he said, you know, if you're pro-life, don't bother, you know. And it's like, you know, there's some really good Democrat people that are pro-life. You know, they're good salt of the earth people, and their party's been hijacked by the progressive movement, and you know, they're having to fight to take it back. That's all there is to it. You know, if they want their party back, they're going to have to fight. And there's some people like this group here. They just stood for life, and they're like, we don't care what you say, you know, and we don't buy into your, you know, your policies here. We don't care.
Yeah. And, it sounds like they're actually representing their constituents instead of bowing
absolutely.
To the national pressures that are upon them through the parties.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So, which tells us here that in our state, really sad that our governor continues to allow abortion in this time where it's so critical that shouldn't be taking place right now, okay? But it says this, she's completely out of touch with her state. Mm. You know, we have proved over and over and over again that New Mexicans do not want abortion, do not want assisted suicide, yet she just keeps pandering to the left and to all of, you know, the elites. And so it's like, she's, in my estimation, not just mine, but she's saying, I really don't care what you think.
Right.
I don't care what you want. This is what we're going to do. And, you know, elections have consequences, do they not?
Yes, and we have all 112 of our representatives coming up for election. Of course, the primaries will be here in June, and the general election in November. And Ethel, you're going to have some resources on your website to point out how the candidates are going to vote on these right-to-life issues.
Yes, yes, we are. We're going to post all the answers. And so, yeah, it's really neat. Very surprising, very, very surprising. As I read through them, it's like, wow. Many of them are coming to me, and they're Democrat, and they pretty much have, you know, are like on the side of pro-choice. But when I see their answers, they're not. Mm. And I think, well, with just a little more education, they wouldn't be pro-choice, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah.
Well, hey, we only have 3 or 4 minutes, but I've got to ask you, which is probably going to be the most unpleasant thing that I ask you today for you and me. It was shocking when you shared this to me before. I want you to explain to our listeners what a late-term abortion is.
A late-term abortion is an abortion that takes place in the third trimester. And because the baby is so large, they can no longer go in there with what they do. It's called a DNE, or suction induction, where they actually suck the baby out and crush its skull and everything. What they do here is they place a needle with a they give the baby a lethal injection in the heart that will give it a heart attack. Okay, but this process takes around 24 hours for that to take place. This process is deemed illegal in our state for dogs and any other animal because they call it cruel and inhumane. Yet they allow that to take place in our for our babies. Okay, then that mother is left to go and deliver that baby, usually by herself in a hotel room, especially because they're coming from out of state, and she can deliver that baby in a toilet if necessary. Okay. Mm. So she'd probably be herself. So you tell me how safe that is. All right. So, and just the trauma of that alone, seeing your full-born baby, fully termed baby, you know, delivered. And so they will start the process for her to have the baby. So, but yeah, it's a process that is deemed illegal for animals in our state, yet we're allowing that to take place on babies here. So you tell me. You tell me where the parody, it's just not right, you know, so we need to stop that. We need to stop. But they have called, just like the Bible says, they have called good evil and evil is good. And, you know, it's a woman's right to do that. Well, it isn't our right to kill anybody.
Right.
You know, so, but I just got to just, you know, I told you earlier, I just wanted to tell people, you know what, there's hope. I don't want people to leave here depressed. And then the other thing is this, Jim, is that there is healing. I want to always let everybody know that there is healing and restoration if you have had an abortion. Mm. Because people need to know that their sins are forgiven, and this one is not the unforgivable sin. Mm. And so they can come. Care Enough's a great place for them to go. They can go through a healing process and be restored completely. And it's a beautiful thing that they do. So, you know, I want to provide hope today. I want people to know that, you know what we're experiencing right now is temporary. If you're in a situation, you have unplanned pregnancy, people are sick and they think that they may as well die. No, you know what? We people love you. There's people that love you and care about you and will miss you so much if you're gone. So, you know, be encouraged and be hopeful, you know, and go get some help.
Amen.
We'll be there to help you guys.
Ethel Maharg, she is the director of the New Mexico Right to Life Committee. Thank you so much for joining us on ABQ Connect.
Thank you for having me.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT.
The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.